Well, somewhere along the line, you became a general manager of a radio station.
Right. The association bought KFMJ out on West Edison, 1,000 watts, 1050, and they sent me out there to run that station. So I left the association. Actually, I left the association before that, and I joined their advertising agency, Swan and Mason, and I worked on their behalf, and I handled a few other clients here in Tulsa, like Orbach's Menswear out of Euchre Square. I've forgotten some of the others. But I did all that as an advertising agent rather than an employee of the association. And then they hired me to manage KFMJ Radio. And I had some very interesting people work for me there.
Yes, like?
David Ingalls, who now is founder and owns the Oasis Network.
Yeah.
Billy Parker, Country Music Association's Disc Jockey of the Year at KVOO years later. KAKC was the highest rated station here in town at the time. I hired two of their best, Don Kelly and his little pseudo friend Chauncey. I hired Will Jones. So I had four of the great TV personalities here in town working for me at one time.
Somebody said Marvin McCullough.
I hired Marvin McCullough.
Great country singer.
And great
personality.
Personality on the radio. But pretty foul mouth, John. And for a station owned by Oral Roberts, I couldn't allow that. So I talked to him at first and said, Marvin, you're going to have to clean up your language or I can't keep you on the air. I will, Mr. Nash, but he didn't. So I started taping him and playing it, and that didn't work out too well. So I finally said, Marvin, this is not working. You're going to have to go somewhere else.
So he had foul language on the radio?
Well, what Oral Roberts would call foul language.
Okay. All right. Billy Parker, then, is that one of his first radio stations?
It was his first.
You know, I've interviewed him as well, and he said he was working at Quick Trip, and he was mopping the floor, and he heard the radio station said, we're looking for a person here. And he says, I dropped the mop, and I got in my car, and I drove right out to that radio station.
And Ron Blue hired him. He was preceded me as manager. Billy was already there when I became manager. I was smart enough to keep him.
Okay, and Ron Blue, of course, became the manager of KRMG, and he hired me.
Exactly.
How about that?
Small family, John.
We're old radio guys sitting here talking. Yes, 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 yes. So you enjoyed that then, and how long did you stay there? That, by the way, KFMJ is now KGTO, isn't
right.
it? Right.
They've changed the call letters. It used to be the Fred and Mary Jones was the call letters.
Of Fred Jones Ford.
Yes.
Right.
And we jokingly out there said, can't keep feeding them Jesus. We wear religion in the morning and country night, and or can't find my jug. We had to have some things to laugh about out there in the country.
Oh, yes.
We had some interesting people come by there. We hired Red Savine to come one Saturday, put a big flatbed trailer out there, and had free hot dogs and Pepsis. And we had several thousand people out there at our first country picnic. Patsy Klein came by one day for an interview.
Wow.
You've met lots of them, but we met a few in our little coffee pot radio station out there.
Interesting. Religious in the morning, and then afternoon it was
1 o'clock we switched to country. David Ingalls signed it on and took us to 1 o'clock, and then Billy Parker first, and then later Don Kelly, and then later Will Jones did from 1 o'clock to sign off.
Did Oral interact at all with you about
no,
all this?
No, never did? Had a comment from him about the station
because
at all.
He was off doing his thing.
He was busy.
Right. All right. So how long are you there then at that radio station?
Let me think. I believe they sold that to the Kravitz family in 1966. And that's when I left radio and went to work at Bank of Oklahoma.
You said the Kravitz family.
George,
yes.
Raymond, they owned KRAV, and they bought KFMJ.
Okay.
And I knew that they would use their family to run that station, so the first opportunity, I left.
Yeah. So then you go to the Bank of Oklahoma in 1966?
Yes.
Right. Okay. You didn't think your career was going to be in radio? You wanted to do other things? Or how did this all come about?
Well, let's go way back. When I left Royston, Georgia, the last stop I made was at Tri-County Bank and asked them for a job. they didn't have one for me. And the reason I did that is because all through school, I was great at math. I made 100 on every math test I ever took. I might not have been too good at English or history or chemistry or French, but algebra, mathematics, numbers always appealed to me, and I was good at it, and I thought, you'd be a good banker. But then I didn't have any other opportunities until one day at the Downtown Lions Club, I'm sitting at lunch with Francis Hawkins, head of trust department at Bank of Oklahoma, and he said, I hear that Kravitz has bought your bank. What are you going to do? I said, I don't know.
Bought your radio station.
Radio station, I'm sorry. Right. And he said, well, we just lost our public relations and advertising man. Would that appeal to you? I said, it certainly would. He said, well, I'm going back to the bank right now. I'll talk to Marvin Millard, our chairman, and see if he would like to interview. And in about an hour, he called me and he said, can you come down? I did, and he hired me.
Okay. I lost track because earlier you said something about pre-med.
That's what I was studying the first 3 years of my schooling.
Right. And what made you leave pre-med?
Marriage.
Okay. All right.
And when I came to Tulsa, John, I hadn't said this, but I started at TU at night, and I went to night school at TU for like 10 years, trying to finish my senior year. And I ran out of courses when I was 6 hours short of graduating, so I enrolled in the University of Tulsa School of Law. I didn't want to be a lawyer, but I did want to learn contracts, real property, personal property, torts. And so I finished 25 hours at the law school at night while I was at Oral Roberts, KFMJ, Bank of Oklahoma.
Man, you weren't afraid of work, were you?
I carried a heavy load.
Yes, you did. But okay, let's come back here then to the Bank of Oklahoma Advertising, Public Relations, Marketing Department. Had you had expertise? Yes, you did. You were at another advertising agency, so
yes,
you did have experience there.
I knew about radio and TV and newspaper. I bought all kind of time for Oral when he'd go into a city for a crusade. I'd buy posters on taxi tops, billboards along the freeways. I bought signs on the side of buses. I bought newspaper ads. I bought radio and TV commercials. So, yes, I had lots of experience in the advertising part of it, not very much in the public relations part.
But that probably came naturally.
Came fairly natural to me.
Right. So then are you continuing there? Didn't you go, okay, your interest in banking became really
intense.
Intense, right. Talk to me about what developed.
Well, Bank of Oklahoma was very good to me, and they sent me first to Oklahoma State to the Intermediate School of Banking, where I graduated. They sent me at night to the American Institute of Banking, which was at TU, and was taught by other Tulsa bankers, and I received my basic certificate there. And then later they sent me to Northwestern in Chicago and Evanston 2 summers to the School of Bank Public Relations and Marketing, and I graduated there. So I was continuing my education. I also enrolled at Oral Roberts University under Dr. Henry Miori and studied at night out there and took several courses that would help me in my business career.
But at the bank, you were promoted?
I got bored with doing PR and advertising. And along came this guy named Eugene Swearingen, Dr. Eugene Swearingen, the president of the University of Tulsa. And one day, Chairman Millard called me up to his office. He said, Bill, this afternoon, we're going to elect Gene Swearingen president of Bank of Oklahoma. I want you to go out to the campus, find his office, interview him, write the story for the Morning World and for the Afternoon Tribune and for the TV stations. So I go out to TU and find Dr. Swearingen, and we hit it off like nobody's ever believed. Hmm. He became my second father.
Hmm.
So he came to the bank, and he didn't know anybody there except the top officers and me. So every time an opportunity arose, he would call me, and he'd say, Bill, I want you and Edna to go with me to New Orleans this weekend, and Asa Lee, I've got a convention for the ABA to set up there, and I want you to help me. And one day I'm going through the lobby and he stopped me at Friday at noon. He said, Bill, I want you to fly down to Miami in the morning, check in at the hotel there and attend the real estate convention for the ABA. And I thought, what? He said, go see my secretary. She'll tell you all the details. I've got to go catch a plane. So I went up and talked to Virginia Domingos, and she said, I've got your tickets here and your registration. Here's some money. I want your wife to go with you. So I went to Miami Beach, checked into the hotel, went to the convention, and I came back. Oh, I forgot to tell you, I had gone down to see him a few weeks before, and I said, Dr. Swearingen, I'm bored. I'd like to change areas of the bank sometime. He said, okay, you can do anything you want to do. You just come back and tell me what you want to do. Well, I pondered that for several weeks, and I couldn't decide. Do I want to be in real estate loans, automobile loans, commercial loans? Do I want to travel and represent the bank with other banks? And I never went back to him and told him because I couldn't decide. And he called me one day. He said, our real estate loan head is retiring. Would you consider going down and heading the real estate loan department? I said, I would. My brothers both were in real estate here in Tulsa, building apartments and homes. And I'd studied real estate law at University of Tulsa Law School, so I had a basic understanding. And so I went down there, and we did very well. It was in a time of boom here in Tulsa.
So what time is this? What
this would have been in about 1970, 69 or 70. Mm-hmm. And our department was the leading money maker percentage-wise in the whole bank that year.
Hmm.
And so I got his attention and the board's attention. And I did that for 2 or 3 years. And then another opportunity arose. Head of the correspondent department retired. And he called and asked me, would I like to have that job? And that's where you go to other banks that do business with our bank, mostly smaller banks, in Arkansas, Texas, Kansas, Oklahoma. A lot of traveling, and build those relationships. So I accepted the job as the head of the correspondent department, and that's where I first got the idea of building my own bank, because I saw first how you do it. We made bank stock loans to a lot of these people that owned the bank, and they gave us all their business every night when they put all their checks together. They'd send them down in a batch, and then we'd send them all over the world to be collected. Or if they need to buy bonds for their bond portfolio or treasury bills, we sold them that. Or if they had a loan that was too big, it was above their loan limit, they'd take the first, whatever, $100,000. If it's a $500,000 loan, we'd take the other $400,000. So I saw how all that worked, and my mind is really turning fast those few years I worked in the correspondent department. I also saw all the things I thought they were doing wrong. And I thought, if you could start from scratch, brand new, you wouldn't set these policies so you'd never have to change them, and you wouldn't have to fight your customers by doing something different.